Alchemy. Yo.
All right, take two.
Oh yeah, this is way better. What did you do?
I switched to my dang wired, you know, regular ass headphones. I don't know. That's irritating. I gotta see what's up.
Which, you were using the AirPods?
Yeah, the AirPods. I ain't even had no trouble with them at all. Thanks. And then today I got a phone call and somebody was like, yo, what's up? I was like, what do you mean what's up? They're like, you sound like you're 20 feet away.
Oh, no.
I was like, no, I'm right here. Anyway, I don't know. I haven't done anything to them.
Yikes.
So maybe I just need to reset them, you know?
Yeah, that could be why.
And they haven't gotten wet or anything, but they are water. They're sweat and, you know, somewhat water resistant, but I didn't, like, go dunking them in a, you know, puddle of water.
Yeah, there could be a lot of reasons.
I'll figure it out. Yep. Anywho, what up? How are you today?
I am good. I'm feeling great.
Nice.
I got my dad's shoes that I got him for his birthday. They came in.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Yeah. So, they're really nice. They're Ohio State.
Okay.
And I got him an Ohio State shirt, but that had already came in, so I was waiting for the shoes to come.
Right.
And they're nice too, the shoes.
That's dope. Okay.
Yep.
So the shirt and the shoes match?
Yep.
Okay, that's dope.
I don't know. Yeah, I guess they coordinate. He liked both of them, so I got them both.
Well, that's all that matters.
Yep.
I like that. I like that. We mentioned we didn't mention on the podcast yet, but you are not at home right now.
No.
You have traveled. Are you, we got to ask the normal question. Are you eating anything?
No, but yeah. My girlfriend, she did make me food earlier. I had oatmeal and bacon.
Oatmeal and bacon, breakfast of champions.
Yeah, well, yesterday she made me French toast.
Oh.
I'm trying to keep it together, what we did. I'm pretty sure she made French toast. She also made chicken and vegetables.
Okay.
Yeah, it's pretty fire. We all
throwing down over there.
Yeah, well, she's throwing down, and I like it.
There's nothing wrong with that whatsoever.
Yeah, I enjoy it. So,
I mean, as you should.
Yeah, go ahead, though.
No, yeah, I was gonna say the funniest thing about what I've got going on over here is on my counter, I have a can of orange LaCroix, which is half empty, an empty Starbucks cup, and then a bottle of unsweetened iced tea. So I drink a lot, obviously. I just realized that. Gotta stay hydrated. It's hot in Atlanta.
Is it hot?
Yeah, it's been pretty toasty. Although it cooled off quite a bit the other day. You know how it is in August. You get those late summer storms, you know?
Yeah.
And then it'll cool off for like 24 hours and then get hot again.
Yes.
So we are in the cool off period.
The weather is weird.
It really is weird because you can get. I was talking to someone the other day from Ohio.
Hey, I was born in Ohio.
I do know this. Yes. So, shout out to Ohio. I was actually talking to Cooper, a guy that jumps in our IG lives once in a while. I don't know if you ever met him. He's a he has OI, and he's an artist. He's like a painter. He's fucking fire too. He's so good. It was like when I was talking to you years ago, and I'm talking to him going, dude, like, why are you not capitalizing on this yet? Like, as much as you could. Like, he's so talented. I'm like, you need to be all over TikTok, all over Instagram, like, just smother that place with your artwork.
No, you go first.
Yeah, I just think, well, it's that thing you and I talk about. It's like, you got the gimpy thing going for you. Just show people what you do. Like, so you got to get them in the door, you know, with the gimpy thing. And then you go, hey, look what I do. And I'm good. I'm legitimately good. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and that's, I mean, I know, well, I don't know if you've been looking, but I've been using the Reels on Instagram.
Yep.
And I've been posting my beats on there now because the algorithm is not yet fucked up. So I'm taking advantage of it while I can.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
When I post my beats, I mean, they're getting how, like the one I posted yesterday, it has 1.4K views. The other one's got 2.2. Another one's 2.4, 2.2 for a song. 2.2 for a song I posted. Another song that we did, State of Affairs, with a BVO produced by us.
That's right.
It's got 2.2K views.
Damn.
Another beat I did is 2.6. And a video I did with Pomela is 7.4K views.
7.4.
Yeah, so...
Yo, okay.
I'm utilizing the fuck out of it now. Because, you know, I used to... Well, not used to, but... At first, I was kind of like, oh, you shouldn't just post beats, blah, blah, blah. However, with this real shit, well... That's what I've been posting because it's simple, it's easy, and I don't always feel like giving like advice, like dropping gems kind of thing. I think there's certain content creators who that's what they're good for. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
If I feel like giving advice, I will. But that's not what I necessarily wanted to build off of, because you know that once you set that expectation. Then, you know what I mean? Like, then everybody's like, oh, can I ask you this question? You know, whatever. So, once you kind of set yourself to be like, I'm the content creator that gives advice or tips or whatever, and that's all you do, then you kind of become boxed in into that. You know what I mean?
Right. It's like the motivational speaking thing.
Yeah.
If you start doing that shit, it's like, is that all you? It's like, no, but I actually, it's like Gary Vee thing. He's a great businessman. Who just happens to be kind of motivational.
Yes, exactly. You know? And that's how I'd like to be. Like, I like to give advice, but that's not the only thing that I want to do. So if I feel like giving an advice video, then I will. If I feel like making a randomized video of me throwing, you know, napkins at my girlfriend in that one video, then I will. Because that's how I live my life. But also, I like posting my beats because it's only 15 seconds. You know what
right.
I mean? And it's kind of like the reviews that we do on Thursdays at 7 p.m. for our come-up review every week is the fact that we always say if you can't do it in a minute, then, you know, you kind of lost it. So I feel like I like the 15-second thing because if I know, if I'm seeing, like, people aren't really feeling it after 15 seconds, you know, in the hook.
Then you're just like, fuck it.
Yeah, it's not the one. You know what I mean? So, I kind of forgot this is kind of the intro, huh?
Yeah, it kind of is the intro, but it's probably the longest intro we've ever done, but I like it. Ain't nothing wrong with that. Hey, in the first 10 minutes, if you can't get a good intro, why the fuck are they listening?
Exactly, they listening? I kind of forgot, yeah.
It's all good. Well, let's just wrap and make it happen right now.
Okay, let's do it.
Yo, 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 and yo, it's Simon Hilla.
It is Jade.
That's the Two Gimps Walk Into a Bar podcast, taping on a special Monday. You know, when we do this via the Anchor app, go to anchor.fm to create, record, edit, distribute your own podcast like we do every week. Who produces this thing?
Oh, just Ilkami LLC.
That is correct. Okay, so going back on what you were talking about in the intro, and we were talking about the Reels. We had talked about this like a week ago when it had launched, and... I did take advantage because I think it launched a couple days before the last time I got my hair cut. I got my hair cut a week ago. And I posted a time-lapse video of me getting a haircut, right?
Right.
And popped it on there. 1.7 so far.
Yeah.
And I didn't do anything particular. I did.
Oh yeah,
put,
it's 1.89.
I put a Black Bear song on there because that's my homie, and I just liked the song. You know what I mean? And it was cool, and people like it. So yeah, if you're on, well, actually, if you're on Instagram, don't mess with Reels yet. Let us milk it first, and then you jump on it. Yeah, I think it's like any platform. It's you know, got some advantages. The time thing, it causes you to be not only interesting but creative within 15 seconds. And like you said, that's just how it is now. If you don't have someone interested in 15 seconds, it may not happen. They may not be into it. So that is just a reality. I think we've talked about this before, but I was just curious now because things are so different. Since you traveled last week.
Yep.
How was it traveling now with everything going on? Did you notice a lot of difference?
It was weird. It was kind of weird. Because there's a lot of people.
Oh,
like,
really?
Going, which I guess is good. Yeah, there weren't a lot of travelers. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, I was happy about that. We were in first class,
cool.
As you know. Yeah. So, honestly, it was worth it, to be honest. I'd probably do first class, like, every time, to be honest. Because
first class is great, yeah.
I mean, the price that you're paying, it's worth what experience you get. I mean, I'm not even going to lie to you. Like, because, one, we are not close to any people. Like, we have so much space. We're at the front of the plane.
Yep.
And it's easier for when they pick us up. I'd rather pay the price. Like, here's the deal.
Mm-hmm.
I believe if I was able-bodied, I probably wouldn't do first class. Just for the
fact I'm with that, you on that, yeah.
Yeah, like, I wouldn't really see the need. I mean, like, snacks, that's cool. They had wine on the plane. That was dope. I did try wine. I did have the wine.
yeah.
You know, I don't like to drink. But,
yeah.
I mean, if I'm going to be on a first-class experience like that, I at least want to know, you know, what it's like. So, I partook. Anyway, I had some wine. So
nice.
Cool. But, I think if I was able-bodied, yeah, I probably wouldn't do it. Like, only because, like, I mean, I don't know. Now that I think about it, because if I was able-bodied, I'd probably be taller. So I may need more legs.
Yeah.
But
I think what you know. I think if I were a walkie, I would first class leg room is good, but you can always sit in the bulkhead in the regular class, which is more leg room. And I remember when I first started traveling a lot, they would just move me to the bulkhead because it was like the flight attendants liked me closer to them.
Yeah.
I think it's because I'm charming. But I think they were always so... But by the way, here's another thing. People complain so much about travel. I've always had good experiences. Like, very rarely have I had a bad experience flying. And people were always so nice. And they'd be like, oh, like, I want you to sit up front closer to me in case you need anything, in case I need to help you with anything. Like, it's... Oh, and you don't even ask. It's like, oh, thank you. You know, I've been put in first class before. Even from having a regular... coach seat.
Yes.
They'll be like, do we have first class? Oh, just put him in front row. They're like, did you and Pamela get to sit together?
Oh, yeah, I put us together.
Okay. Oh, shit. Okay, look at you. Okay, that's dope. Yeah, but in the drinks, before the plane even takes off, by the way, if you're in first class, typically, did they do that before you took off? Or did they wait till you took off?
What do you mean? Oh,
because, like, I've been on flights where if you're in first class, while you're sitting there waiting for people to board, they will bring you a drink.
Oh, no, I think, yeah, I think they gave us our snacks and stuff first. in a little bit. Yeah. I don't remember it now. I don't even know. I just enjoyed the whole experience.
No, that's good. You ain't get look, as long as you know it was good. Well, so did you, was everybody wearing masks and all that shit?
Yeah, oh, you have to.
Okay, of course. Well, that's cool. Like, I'm being honest with you, like, I don't say it a whole lot because, you know, I've been overly cautious about everything, but I'm being honest, the fact that you traveled made me, obviously, you know, we're friends and I care about you. You know, well, that sounds like I'm about to say something negative, but I'm not. It was good to see you travel.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because I was like, I want to travel so bad and I'm, you know.
It wasn't that bad, man. Like, they really are taking precautions with everything. Like, for real, like, I was kind of like, I don't know how this is going to go. But they really do take precautions. And you have your mask. I would suggest getting first class if I were you, just because, like, again, they really, at least for Delta, they're spacing out everything on mm-hmm. the plane. So when you get the first class, I mean, we had the front row to ourselves, outside of the fact that, like, the flight attendant sat down sometimes and left.
Yeah.
Like, he took a little quick nap and then got up. But other than that, like, we had the whole front row to ourselves. Okay. And then that was really nice.
That's dope.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely was worth it. And the alcohol content for the wine was 13.5%.
Ooh.
I said, geez, people would really get spicy on that plane.
Getting witty.
Took it back. Yeah, but I was sad because they did not have juice. And I don't know if they didn't have juice at all or if they didn't have juice for first class. But I was kind of like, I think they should have non-alcoholic beverages because, like, one, what if you're an alcoholic? You know what I'm saying? And, you know, no. You know,
I know, I'm sorry, just that question. What if you're an alcoholic? Go ahead.
Because alcoholism is really hard to, you know, from what I've heard. So if you have, like, fucking 13.5% wine and that's all you got, I mean, yeah, water would be the more sound mm-hmm. choice. However, you know, if you liked alcohol in the first place, you might be like, dang, I should throw this fucking 13.5% alcohol back, mm-hmm. you know, and then get another one, and I don't know. Either way, I just think they should have juice to begin with, non-alcoholic items.
Do they have any soda? No.
Other than water.
They didn't have any soda?
No soda, no nut.
God dang, no. Bruh.
I'm going to see what next. I mean, maybe I didn't ask the right questions, but I just was like, y'all don't have nothing non-alcoholic, and they're like, no, we only have water. I was like, what kind
that
of is
that, nutty.
Bro? Yeah, I mean, like, there's nothing wrong with water, but what the fuck? Like, give me some fucking juice, lemonade.
Something, yeah, well, I mean, how long of a flight is that? 2 hours?
I mean, it was probably
yeah, it's quick. I think for people that, by the way, for people that don't travel by air, and I actually know some people that don't do it, if they just realize how much quicker it is and actually safer it is, they wouldn't be so. You know, I realized something very heavy the other day, and I don't know if you'll agree with this, but I figured something out in my adulthood. I didn't like flying when I was a kid. I flew twice when I was 10. And I was terrified, right? But I've always just been kind of a little, you know, bitch when it comes to things like that. I didn't like rides to fair, you know what I mean? None of that. I didn't like tilt-a-whirl fairs. I didn't like anything. Anything that made me feel kind of queasy, I didn't like it. So when I flew when I was like 10, I was nervous as hell. But what I realized was, more than anything, I don't like feeling out of control. Like it's a weird thing in my gut that I don't like. But what I realized is, when I started flying again when I was about 23, the first time I flew again, I was scared as shit. So I was like, luckily I was with this girl I was dating. So I think that kind of does help you feel a little more at ease if you're nervous, you know, because you're with someone that, you know, you like, they got your back if you start, you know, feeling anxious, whatever. So that being said, the more I flew, the more I realized something. I trust I trust mechanical things and the air more than I trust some people. Meaning, like, the more I flew, I just trusted it. I was like, something really bad would have to happen for something to go wrong on this plane. It's not going to happen. The worst that's going to happen is some bad turbulence. And sure, you could get injured, but ain't nothing going to happen. Like, it's a weird thing that I just convinced myself of years and years ago. To where I just started loving flying. Like, you couldn't get me off a damn plane. I was like...
And not to sound morbid.
No, go ahead, please. I think I know what you're about to say.
I was going to say, not to sound morbid, but, like, if it's more time to go, bro, it's going to just...
Right.
Either way, like, on a fucking plane, in a car, in my place, in my sleep. Like, and I mean, some people... You know what I think? Some people can't fathom the idea of
right.
this. And I mean, I know that sounds like wild. This like, they don't podcast. Know.
Yeah.
How am I going to die? When is this going to happen? Is it going to hurt? Am I going to be a
right.
You know what I mean? Like, people think about death so much. And it's like, when you die, you're dead. And I mean, I know that it sounds like. I mean,
profound statement by Jay. When you die, you're dead.
You know, I mean, because, like, people want to know how it's going to happen. Like, I yeah,
why,
know,
why does,
but,
it, and why does
I mean,
it matter?
Cause, yeah, because at the end of the day, now, I do have an ideal death, okay? I just want it to be painless.
Yes, I hear that.
I want a
painless death. I think everybody could
death,
agree with that, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So if it's quick, that's fine. If it's in my sleep, that's fine. But I don't want to prolong
right.
death or anything. You know, where I'm like, damn, I gotta really suffer it. No. Also, I want to die at an old age. I feel like that's most people.
Yeah.
I would like to be, you know, live out a pretty long-ass...
Right.
Long life as I can. You know, do the things I want to do. And then, yeah. I mean, I think that's why now I do so much shit mm-hmm. that probably just doesn't make sense to people. You know, about, like, but I just figure, you know, mm-hmm. life is short enough. You know what I mean? So I am not about to spend whatever time I have left on Earth being fucking miserable. I would rather have had $2 in my pocket doing what I love than have mm-hmm. 400 or, like, 4,000, whatever
yeah.
the fuck. And I hate it.
It's what
and
you
I'm
want.
Just doing
yeah,
it because
yeah,
other people
that's
said,
so...
This
you know what? This is why
what
we get along.
Be.
You're very young, but you're very profound. And the interesting thing about what you said, and I'm actually thank glad you realized that your age, because I did too, but for different reasons. You know, when I was your age, I had lost my mother and my father. So, and I'm not trying, I hope everyone listening to this, yeah. this is a enlightening podcast. This isn't meant to be like a bummer. It's not a bummer. Because yes. the thing is, like, I think I've talked to you about this maybe before, but I remember when my dad died, and I was, like, a senior in college, and I was getting ready to travel to Philly, and, like, it was so weird, because all these people around me were, like, they were just, like, oh, so I guess you're probably not going to take your trip now. I was, like, fuck yeah, I am. Like, that's the whole point. You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't disrespect, like, what are you supposed yeah. to do? Like, sit around and mope and be like, you know, it changed my life? It's like, no, that just gives you more reason. Then you're like, you know, like, I gotta go now. I have to go. Because that's what I want to do. And, you know, we're just seeing how, you know, precious life is here. Like, why can't you just take advantage of it and, like, do these things? It's a lot of why I was never scared. When I was, I think the older I get, the more timid I get, just because I'm older, you know what I mean? And you start thinking about way too much. But that, you know what's weird is, there's this book, I'd like to get you this book sometime, it's called Unlearn, which is interesting because it's basically like all these things we get taught growing up. Think about when you're young and how great and cool life is. I mean, I know we have different upbringings, and there can be bad elements, but what I'm getting at is, when you're young, anything's possible. Because anything is possible. But when you get older, the more people around you go, hey, you can't do that. Hey, you can't do this. And then you start going, oh, yeah, you're right. I can't.
Yes.
I can't. But there's people, like, you know, I believe you're a lot like this. I was really a lot. I mean, I was very much like this at your age, where I just questioned everything. Everything.
Oh, yeah, oh, yeah, that's me, like, to the max, and it annoys the shit out of my parents, because they're different than me from this perspective of, like, they play a lot of things, mm-hmm. safe, and that is a lot of people,
yeah.
Like, I mean, that's not just them, it's not just unique to them, but they do play a lot of things safe, and that's not my mindset. I have made a lot of decisions that either really worked out or did not work out, but either way, I did them. And you know, that's kind of how I live my life. Like, one of the best decisions I can say, and I still am glad I did this, is betting on myself, because back in February of this year, you know, I was going through a tough time. Well, January, I was like hella broke, to the point where my girlfriend,
been there.
She gave me
$6
for pizza.
We've all been there, yes.
So, I mean, I was really going through it. Like, it was not a good time for me. And some people could say, well, what about your parents, blah, blah, blah. But the one thing is, I'm not a person to ask for help. I just don't like to. I don't even like to ask my parents, especially monetary, because something that people do need to understand is, when people have the ability to help you financially, they will never let that fall.
Okay,
go.
I was about to say,
and
yes.
And when I mean never,
yes.
I mean, depending on who they are. But, you know, but depending on who they are, they will not let that go. And I love my parents to death. They don't listen to this podcast anyway. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, it's just real. I've had some situations where, like, when I have asked for help, that has never been lived down,
yes.
You know, so it kind of makes you not want to ask for help, so you just don't, you know, and then people are like, oh, why didn't you ask us for help?
You gave me
and
shit.
Well, when I did ask you for help, you never let it
yeah.
go. You
yeah.
know what I mean? Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, it's not worth that kind of conversation. Anyway, and that's all love. I mean, that's a lot of people that do that, and they might not even mean to. It might just be a, you know.
I was going to say, I think they're playing devil's advocate, as they say. I think what that is, you know, if you're going to offer somebody something, don't make them feel guilty about it. But the thing is, we've all been there and done that. Or been on the other side of that, where we did take someone's help, and then they made us feel awful about it. But the thing is, sometimes the feeling awful about it shows that you do have a conscience. You know what I mean? You're like, if you did feel bad, you do kind of, there's a little bit of, I mean, shame is not bad in all aspects. Sometimes you have a little bit of shame. That's good. That's your gut, your subconscious going, you know, you could have done better. But sometimes it's just out of your hands. So, you know, sometimes, by the way, it's a learning curve. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, some people, I've been dug out of help or out of issues. I mean, when I was your age, I had a mentor. He basically paid for my food for 6 months. When I moved to Philly, he and his business partner, because they wanted to help me, and they're paying, and it wasn't much, but it was like the place where I lived, they did six days a week, they had breakfast and dinner, because it was like a hotel, but you had to pay it on top of your rent, and I didn't have that money, and they were like, they wanted me to be okay. And they never made me feel guilty. They like, hey, don't worry about it. It's okay. And I, you know, I did feel bad. And I would offer. I mean, shit, you know, even now, I'm a grown-ass man. I got my best friend's in-laws have been coming over during this quarantine stuff and bringing me groceries and, you know, doing nice things. And, you know, by the way, they would never, ever make me feel bad for that, because they want to do it, and they're very kind, but, you know, there is obviously that element in me where you're like, oh, they shouldn't be doing it. They don't need to do this but I know they don't, you know what I mean, like, they don't need, but they do, and it's kind, You know what I mean? So that's a different kind. It's definitely different.
Yeah, and
but when people do it though, I think we're going way off on a tangent here. Exactly. But yeah, I you know, you're talking about risks and things. I think if your heart is in the right place, you know what I mean? Like if you, by the way, if you moved, if you did something wild like I would have done when I was a kid, like if you would have called me, if you said, I'm flying to L.A. to have this meeting, and I might be a little timid about it, but I go, if your heart's in it, go do your thing. And then if you got there and something came up, and you were like, Simon, can you help me get back to Atlanta or whatever, I got you. And I never make you feel bad, because like you followed your gut, like you felt it was right, and you're it's not a shame thing. It's just, hey, you. I like people that do the effort where they took the risk. It's like, dang, okay, you really went out there and did your thing. You know what I mean? Like, so, you know, I think it's just if you volunteer to help people, don't make them feel guilty.
Yeah, because like, you know, I'm glad I didn't listen back during that time period, because it definitely benefited me, and I'm not asking for $6 from anyone anymore. But I mean, at the same time, you know, even if it had worked out in a different scenario and it didn't work out this great, I at least still would feel better with my decision, because I went for it. Because I would never know what the ladder would be if I didn't try, you know. Because that's the thing, like, people get nervous.
It's because the thing is, the pessimist mindset, you know, like, always feels the worst case scenario is gonna happen, and that's why people don't try shit. They don't do it. It's so fucking weird. And
yeah, that's
it's like when I moved to Philadelphia, people always do that cliche one way ticket thing. Ironically, mine was legit. I only had a gift, like a credit with Amtrak, enough to go to Philadelphia, but not to come back. And I made that choice. You know what I mean? And instead of looking at it, like here's the thing. I think when you tend to see the negative side, like, and by the way, we're all guilty of both sides. So if you do look at the negative side, like, oh, if I try this, it's not going to work out. Now, all you see is the negative sides. That's what all people see. I'm not going to try. It's just going to be fucked up.
Yes.
It's just not going to work out. It's like, okay, well, then you're going to be, you already lost. And when I took this train to Philly, I
you already tell people lost,
for the most part, I was not scared. Was I a little scared? Of course. Because I'm not an idiot. You know what I mean? I didn't know exactly what I was going to do. But I was like, if I don't, I'm going to regret it. And I'm going to be stuck in this small-ass town, and I'm going to hate it. I'm going to hate it. But if I go, what if it does work out? What if it does work out?
Yes.
See?
Yeah, because that's what I feel the same way. Because I was very adamant, you know. And you probably were one of the only people at the time that really understood. I was like, Simon, I'm not going to get a job. I was like, I'm going to figure this shit out. I'm going to figure it out. I was like, you and I both know I'm just not job material. And when I say that, it's not that I can't work at a job.
Mm-hmm.
There's certain people who are really good employees. And that's just a fact of life. I'm not a good employee. And it's not that I won't do the work, but I won't be putting as much effort. And that's just an honest fact about me. I mean, I am 100% honest. I will be thinking about my business and what I got to do the whole entire time I'm there, which will not help me focus on what you need me to do.
Yes.
And, I mean, that's just a fact of life. There's some people who like working at a job. They like the structure. They like that, you know, the... Interesting thing is, though, I will say this, and this is not knocking anyone that has a job. This is just reality. I think it's more of a risk to have a job than it is to have a business, because at least when you have a job, if your boss one day woke up, stubbed their toe, was in a pissed off mood, and you said, you know what, let's say you were on Facebook just one time. You've been there, you've been doing work every single day, you know, no problems. But this one day, yeah, you decide, you know what, I'm going to just check Facebook. I don't know why you would do that, but, you know, people do that. So, let's say you do. But your boss stubbed their fucking toe, and they're pissed off, okay? And they're not going to tell somebody at the job, I stubbed my toe.
Right, yes, yes,
because,
yes,
you know,
yes,
people just don't say why they're actually mad. They just let it out on people a lot of times. And then you get fucking fired. And you're like, what the fuck? I don't understand right. why. And they're like, yo, Simon, get the fuck out of here. You're fired. And really, it's because they stubbed their toe and they're mad. But because they saw you on Facebook and you were the only one on there, now you could have been doing the best job, but they wouldn't even know. And now you're fired. And now you're out of a job. And now you're looking for something else. And the other thing, too, is with this pandemic,
right.
a lot of people have seen not all of their jobs are as secure as they fucking thought they were. Because now they're having to find something else. And that's not knocking anyone that had the job. And that I want to put that disclaimer out there because I don't want people in the comments or hitting us all like, oh, well, Jay said that, you know, because I have a 9-to-5, like, I'm a trash person. Like, no, that's not the case. However, I just have never understood the argument of, like, oh, it's more of a risk to have a business. It's a risk mm-hmm. to do anything except sit on your fucking ass and just sit there. You know what I mean? Like, there's always going to be a risk for whatever you do. It's a risk to have a fucking job because jobs are not always secure. You can get laid off. The businesses can go, you know, lose mm-hmm. money and go out of business and have to, like, let go of people, or you get furloughed or whatever, whatever. There's just so many. And then the same thing with businesses. You might go through a shitty year or two or five or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the sixth year, fucking shit pops up. That's how I feel. I have been doing this since I was in high school, which to some people may seem like, well, you were still young. But there's people in high school that are like 13, 14 that have fucking gotten way, you know, farther than a lot of people my age. So, I mean, age is not really a factor as much anymore, especially now. But what I'm saying is, if I had quit officially, if I had listened to everybody that said, you know, why don't you just fucking work at, you know, the dollar store or whatever, and I was miserable and I wore one of those little outfits, and like, hi, my name is Jay, welcome to fucking the dollar store, and I just gave up on myself, then I would never have had the placements that I've had this year or the opportunities that I've had to, you know, work with different people or money or anything like that, because I just would have gave up on myself.
Right.
So that's all to say, no matter what you do, there's going to be a risk in whatever you do. So you can't put it up. And I've seen a lot of the, like,
mm-hmm.
business versus employee kind of thing. I know you've seen it on social media before, where it's like, oh, people, you know, try to force people to have a business, or, oh, you know, whatever, mm-hmm. whatever. And it's like, I don't think there should have to be this divide, because
right.
we're all fucking
right.
crazy. At the end of the day, I think it's crazy as shit to start a business at any time, any period, no matter what.
I think
kind of
I think
business.
What I think what
it's
people
crazy as shit to get a
what people
fucking
like,
job.
And I've been guilty of this. Like,
you know what I mean?
You know, one thing I think it's always safe to say about people is when we have these conversations. You know, I think so many people like to finger mm-hmm. point and nowadays, especially because they can, because it gets seen. But the thing is, everybody is guilty of these things at some degree, at some level, all the time. And what I mean by that is, you know, we've all been either put in positions or in positions of, you know, people like the path of least resistance. You know, where they're like, what's the easy route? You know what I mean? What's the easy route? There's no conflict this way. Do you know what I mean? What I mean is like, what's the thing I can do that takes no risk? This is why some people are good at working for other people. But still, there's a risk in everything. Like, that's what people don't get. There is a literal risk in, like, by the way, I mean, I've had my share of it. People do the same thing with relationships. You get in one bad relationship. By the way, I'm be sappy for a minute.
Yeah.
But my grandmother, she was a very sweet lady.
And they're like,
she had a lot of issues growing up. She had a lot of, you know, weird stuff in her family. But she was very sweet.
Yeah.
And she and my grandfather were divorced, I think, by the time I was born. But she was the sweetest lady. But because she was so jaded, she never went out and dated again. Ever. And she would even tell me, like, she confided in me. And she's like, yeah, I miss dating, and I miss the company of a man. You know, like, she would tell me that shit when I got older. And I'd be like, why don't you go out? There's a bunch of older dudes that are sitting at their house all lonely, and y'all can hang out and watch Oprah or whatever the fuck. You know what I'm saying? Like, do whatever. I don't want to know anything else. But anyway, you know, like, just do your thing. And she just would never do it. And it was all out of fear. It was all out because they're like, well, I don't want to get my heart broken. People do that all the time. Like, you know how many messed up relationships we've all either been near or had a part of? I've had my share. But you know what? I still talk to girls. And I'm interested in getting in a relationship because that's the whole point. The whole point is it could fuck up, but that's what makes it good. Because then you just don't fuck it up. Yep. Some people are just like, well, I don't even want to start. And it's like, well, fuck, you know, then you're just going to be miserable as fuck then. Like, you've already made up your mind that it ain't going to work. By the way, that's the environment I grew up in. So I know a lot of people say, why'd you leave here? I'm like, well, if you knew how I grew up, that was my house. It was like, don't even try. It's dangerous out there. It's dangerous. I'm like, it's fucking dangerous in here.
Yep. Exactly. Yeah. Like, there's just a lot in there. I mean, I'll be, you know, transparent. I have been nervous as fuck. I'm about to move in with somebody, and I've never been in relationship this before. You know, and that scares the shit out of me. I'm worried as fuck. Like, if this shit didn't work out, well, fuck. You know, I've done a lot that I just can't, like, forget.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I just can't, like, oh, well, this happened, and then that's it. You know? So, I think this is a huge-ass risk on both sides. I mean, my girlfriend's taking a risk. She moved her whole-ass life down here to Georgia to be with me and cut off her whole-ass teeth and a whole bunch of shit. And that's fucking crazy.
But that's
shit.
Good, though. I love shit up like that.
I mean, and that's just
like, you really
real,
have,
you know?
It is, and it makes it good. Like, and y'all, you know this, y'all not always going to get along. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, but that's, I mean, I'm not going to say it's good or bad. It's just, that
no,
just is.
We do not, yeah.
You know what I mean? but it's really how you get through it. You know what I mean? Because even, like, I mean, my best friends, I've had arguments with my best friends.
Yes.
You know, and there have probably been times when we thought we hated each other. We didn't really. But you know what I mean? Like, you have your disagreements and then you move on. But you just, because you know each other. You go, I know you. You're still cool with me. Like, I know you're mad right now, but you gotta come around. Like, so, you know, but like I said, it is that thing where people just don't even fucking try. They're like, why am I gonna bother? Like, why bother with this? Why bother with that? Like, just gonna fuck up. And it's like, you miss a lot of good shit by doing that. I mean, take the risk. Like, see what happens.
Yeah, so, I mean, and that's why I'm glad that I've taken this risk, because, I mean, you know, it's an experience, whether it works out, and now I'm not talking about this in particular, I'm just saying in general, whatever it works out or not, at least you have the experience and you can say, you know what, I tried this out, it either fucking really worked great, or it didn't, and if it doesn't work great, well,
There's this book, and it's been so long since I read it.
A lot.
But I had ended up on this radio talk show, like, I mean, this is a long time ago, like, I was about your age, and they interviewed me, and I was on the same show with this author, and he actually heard my interview, because he was on the same show. He had this book called Right Risk, and he sent me a copy, and in the inside, I don't know where the copy is now, but he was so nice, and he goes, I think we'd ended up talking on the phone, because somebody gave us each other's numbers from the radio station, but he said, you guys need to talk, and this guy talked to me, he goes, I heard your story, he goes, you You are living what my book says. He said, I heard what, you know, when I moved to Philadelphia and I was, but it really was about calculated risk, where it was like you have to, in order to grow, to progress, you have to kind of break an old habit or break an old comfort, I'm making quotes, you know, and move to something new, you know, to see if that makes you happy. You know, and a lot of people just don't. They're just like, well, I'm miserable, that's it. I'm just miserable. Like, that's like a fucking tragic-ass way to live. It's like, don't do that. Let's do something different here. You know what I mean? And shake shit up. And people get, well, I think, and I even said this, as you saw, I reposted this documentary about me on my YouTube page and on my IGTV, because it was just sitting on the director's page, and I don't think a lot of people were seeing it, but I said something in there that was interesting, and paraphrasing myself, but I basically said, I talked about people being comfortable, so I'm saying, like, people where I grew up, like, you know, and these are friends of mine, and I love them dearly, but people stay, like, if you're from a small town, a lot of people stay in that town, you don't really move out, you have kids, you're just around the same people, you grew up around, got kids, like, everything is just kind of the same, and I said there's comfort in that for people, but I've never been comfortable. So I took that as saying to me, if life could speak, that's weird to say, but if it was almost like, you're going to be uncomfortable here, why don't you be uncomfortable while you're trying to do some shit that you, it's wild, where you're like, oh, I want to be a record producer. Why don't I try doing that? Because I'd rather be that uncomfortable, that kind of uncomfortable, than the uncomfortable of sitting in my hometown, maybe being, you know, married with, like, by the way, I like to think if I stayed there and got married, I probably would have, like, a shitload of kids, because there's nothing to do but have sex and go to Walmart, you know? So, you know what I mean? Which could be cool. By the way, that would be great. Kids are great. What I'm saying is like, I just, you kind of know what you're going to get there. You know what I mean? I was like, let me just try this thing. That's not guaranteed, but at least I have a shot. If I go, because it's up to me. It's not up to anyone else. So, I think people are just scared. People are just, you know what I really think? I think, and I said this in an older documentary about me, about myself. That sounds so egotistical. I said in that film, I said people are scared of their potential. That's why they don't want to try shit. Because they really have the power to do a lot of shit. But they just don't. They don't want to realize it. Because if they do, like, once again, it's easier to stay in that comfort zone and not do anything than to actually put in work and try something great. You know, it's like, think about people that you know that are talented as fuck. I grew up with people like that. They're like, amazingly talented. I'm like, oh, you should do this, you should do... No, people ain't gonna like it. No, they're not gonna fuck with it. I'm like, how do you even know? Like, you ain't even tried shit. Go try it. Right.
I mean, I put all my beats out.
Right, yes.
That I make. I mean, unless I am sending them somewhere, because I just never know. You know, and I mean, I just...
But
I think that's so important to bet on yourself. Like,
isn't that all you can do, though? Because I know it's going to sound really kind of...
I think that's important.
Kind of depressing, but it's actually very good, is nobody else is going to bet on you like that. Because people want to protect you, like your parents. My grandparents.
Yeah.
It's not, they want to protect you more than they want you to succeed.
Yes.
Ooh, that's heavy. Because they feel like, oh, well, under me, you're safe. Are you?
Yes.
Are you?
Yes. And the thing is, like, you know what I notice is a lot of people, I've noticed is that, like, they didn't follow their dreams. So when you're ready to follow yours, they're like, wait, wait, wait. And, I mean, that I've noticed even with people around me, or people like my parents, and I love them to death. However, nothing pisses me off more than someone telling me that they want to do something.
Mm-hmm.
They have the resources to fucking do it. Nothing in their way, really.
Yeah, it's like, shut the fuck up. And then
they just keep saying, oh yeah, I want to do this. And I'm like, okay, well, now I don't give a fuck. Yeah, just do it. Because one thing I can say about both of us is, for the most part, if we're not perfect.
Yeah,
we
of course.
We have our moments where, you know, we say we're going to do something and it doesn't always happen, like, immediately, but we get there. However, I will say, 9 out of 10
right.
times, when we have both said we're going to do something, we're going to do it. Now, if it fucking...
Well, you'd rather know.
Blows
at least
up in
you
our
know,
face,
you're like, oh, fuck that,
here,
that,
there.
That didn't
work out. But, like, I... yeah... that did not work out at all in the slightest. But
mm-hmm.
I would say, like, for both of us, we at least try shit. Like, we at least do it. Like, if I say I am not going to get a job, I mean that shit, and I'm not fucking around. Like, I'm going to put in whatever effort
mm-hmm.
I gotta put in. Now, here's the situation. Here's the reality. And just to bring it into perspective, let's say I told myself,
mm-hmm.
you know what, I'm gonna give myself 6 months to get my shit together for real, like, put 100% in. If it doesn't work out in this 6 month time period, I will start looking for jobs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that was more so like a internal thing. I kind of told myself, like, I'm gonna give myself this much time to really fucking get together, and
mm-hmm.
if you don't do
mm-hmm.
it in this time period, you're going to need to find alternatives, you know what I mean, to support yourself. But with that knowledge, then I really put the foot on the fucking gas and figured it out, you know what I mean, and, like, made shit happen. And now I'm glad I don't have to work somewhere, and I'm actually even more glad I don't have to work somewhere, especially
yeah.
in the time that we're living in now. I got to pick the perfect time to get my shit together, because... you know, for us and what we do, I mean, we don't really
right.
rely on in-person interactions that much. I mean,
right.
it's nice,
yeah.
but it's not exactly, like, hella necessary. You know what I mean? And I like that, though. I'm glad that that is the fucking case. You know what I mean? Because, you know me, I kind of like being to myself anyway, so I'm not exactly the person that wants to be around people all the time. So I'm okay with it. But in general, the point is the fact that people always
right.
gotta have a backup plan. I've never liked that whole mindset. Like, backup plan from the standpoint of, like, whenever I have backup plans, I have one track.
Yeah.
It's very hard for me to focus on, like,
yep.
other things at the same time, because something's not gonna get the same attention that I get, you know what I mean? So if you're like, oh, Jay, you should do your business, but also try to apply for jobs, something is not going to, like, get the same attention. It's just not going to happen. That's why I give props to people that are able to, I give props to people that are able to fucking
mm-hmm.
work somewhere and do their, you know, business at the same time when they're building up. Because I personally would have a very hard time with that, because
yeah.
I just, my focusing is, it's kind of tough
yeah.
for me. But that's just me personally. But it's not to say you can't do it. I'm just saying, for me,
mm-hmm.
I have noticed that it's not my strength.
You know, it's a couple things I want to bring up, because
to do it really well.
I can't believe how quickly
I mean?
We went through an hour.
So,
but a couple things I wanted to
yeah.
bring up is, one, talk about a backup plan. The interesting
yeah.
thing in my case was, or is, you know, I went to college. I went to Indiana State. I have a fucking,
yeah.
I have a degree. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I have a
went
degree
to fucking college,
geography
too.
And atmospheric science.
That's fucking
so,
hilarious.
The
yeah.
funny thing about that, though, is
yeah.
here is a double-edged sword.
Yeah.
If I didn't like going to class. I was skipping class. And I got it was threatened that I was going to get kicked out of school my first year because they're like, you're not showing up to class. And I was like, how the fuck do they know that? It's college. They're like, dumbass, they still take attendance. They notice you whether you're not in class. So, like, fuck. So, my second semester, I had to, you know, gear up. Because here's the risk. If I didn't, I didn't want to be in my hometown. The only way not to be in my hometown was to stay in school. The only way to stay in school was to go to class. So, I'm a good student. I'm a great student, but I'm good. And I liked what I was studying. But also, I started producing music.
Right.
Now, the irony was, if I got kicked out of school, I couldn't make music. You see what I'm saying? Well, I would have had to go back home. And all these artists I was producing were on campus.
Really?
So, the catch 22 was, I got to do good in school and stay here so I can make beats for all these people. Right.
Yo, and that was, we're the same person, bro. Because as much as I didn't necessarily want to be in college, and I feel like people take it as you're not grateful. Because I am. I was very grateful that my parents paid for my school. I had a Hope scholarship, so that covered like 90%, and then my parents paid the rest of my school. So I was very fortunate in that regard. However,
you gotta go to school.
My drive to be in school, one, was because my parents were like, you need to go to college. Yeah, so, I mean, that was one big, biggest thing. But the second thing was, as you said, I knew a lot of, I always say this, everyone's a rapper once in college. You know what I mean? Like, and so I would meet a lot of artists on campus. Yes. You know what I'm saying? And I was like, fuck, I gotta stay here. You know what I mean? I gotta figure it out because I got people in my dorm room. We're recording, you know, I'm making beats for them.
And so that's what I'm saying, it's the catch 22 of it. So staying in school,
you know what I mean?
There was a double benefit. You did get to educate. By the way, I learned self-discipline because I learned what it was.
Yes.
What was bugging me about life was my home environment. Like it wasn't very, I didn't feel very comfortable. And when I lived on my own, most people are like, I was scared to be on my own. That first couple weeks like into college I was like, I love life now. There's no weirdness when I get home. I get to my dorm room, my roommates are cool as shit. Nobody's at home yelling. Nobody's at home get, you know, drunk off their ass. You know what I mean? Like it was just I felt safe. And not only that, but I was like, ooh, and I'm making music and all this. And here's what I wanted to conclude on, at least for myself today, was this. Because I posted a documentary, Tracking Identity, on my IG, my IGTV. And one of my friends from back in the day, he was a radio DJ in college. And he was, like, a good friend of mine. Like, he made beats. He was one of the rappers I worked with. Probably one of the first people I really knew from New York. Like, a straight-up New Yorker, you know? And he's one of the nicest guys. Like, he and I... And it's funny because he... And I say this with love. He's a little bit abrasive with people because he had that chip on his shoulder, like New York, like, you know, like, don't fuck with me. Like, you know, a little bit of arrogance, but just a nice guy. And he always stuck up for me, always. And he sat with me in the studio one night because, you know, I had a business partner who was really taking advantage of me. And, like, the company was making money or at least paying the bills, but I was broke. And I was producing all these people. But I had nothing to show for it other than the music, you know? And he sat with me and he said, now, I've never heard this. Now, this is... This could be a African-American thing, and I think it is. But he told me when he said, have you ever heard this? And I brought this up in here before. He said, I don't know if it's an analogy or whatever, about crabs in a barrel. I was like, what is that? And he said, this is like... He's like, if you're from the hood and you go out there and you do good things, you're doing good things. People want to, they're mad. He said, they want you to be down there with them, being fucked up and miserable. Are, he goes, this is what's happening to you. He goes, people are going to try to hold you down.
Dude.
Don't let them hold you down. And it's hard to talk about. It makes me emotional. Because he just commented on the video last night how he would see me up at 2-3 in the morning because he'd see the studio light on when he walked by it on campus. He's like, this dude was up till 2-3 in the morning every damn night, like, making beats. That was when I was, like, 19, 20 years old. And so, you know, it makes you, like, and I even told him, I was like, dude, you're the one that, you really had a lot to do with getting me here. You don't know it, but it's people like that. I mean, I think we're here telling people this now. It's like, don't be that fucking, don't be in that goddamn barrel. A lot of people are going to, but it's like, people will, I hate that, like, I had people in my immediate family try to give me shit because I was trying to do better. Like, oh, you, look at graduating college. Ooh, you're smart now, aren't you? And then if I got like a nice pair of shoes, oh, you think you're better than us now, huh? It's your expense. You don't even walk. Like, and you got, I was like, fuck off. Like, I just, let me do my, like, this is, it's, you know, it's a horrible mentality to have. And you feel bad for people that have that. Cause, and like you said a couple of minutes ago, a lot of it is that. A lot of it comes from people that always wanted to do something or they want to do something. They don't know how to start. And because you did do it or you're doing it, it's just jealousy is all it is. It's just jealousy because they didn't take a chance or they didn't follow through, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's not for everyone. That's the thing. Like, I've had my jealous moments. I've had recent jealous moments, but then as you get older, hopefully you look at it and you realize, you know what? There's enough to go around and that's just not my path. That's theirs. You know, mine's different. I mean, I think about mine even like, you know, having Steve Lillywhite on that documentary and him as a friend. He's like a legendary music producer of commercial music itself. Like, I can't tell you how many millions of records he's sold. Millions. Some of the biggest rock groups in history. And he's my friend. Like, I can call him. And that doesn't mean much to some people. But I'm like, shit, like, that's pretty wild. You know? And some people would love to have that. You know what I mean? So, and so it's like, it's from different angles. Anyway, well, I think we're all in agreement. And I think I like the tangent we went on today. Because it really started from talking about flying and taking risks, which is it's really interesting. Because, yeah, and I think it's funny that, you know, individuals like ourselves are the ones that are not scared. We're like, fuck it. Like, let's just see what happens. Roll the dice, see what happens. You know what I mean? So, anyway, that's a good. I always like when we have a good podcast. I feel good about this one. But anyway, shout out to us for having this new Abizio song out.
I do too.
You know, shout out to Abizio, of course. You know, I hope everybody goes and checks that out. But anyway, while you are on the internet, you should be looking us up. And Jay, where can everybody find you on the interweb?
Oh, mini producer.
Cool.
I am there. That's where my main social media is. And then also, miniproducer.com is where you can find my beats. And you can find my girlfriend's podcast, From Me, Pod IT, on all streaming platforms like Spotify, Apple Music, shit like that. And make sure you check out.
Try to do a little music review.
On Thursdays, every Thursday, we do a music review, and if you want to pay up, you can.
Yes, and we can. If you have questions about that, just you know, message one of us. We can give you more info.
And we'll give you more information. But
they can check me out everywhere. Simon Illa, SimonIlla. That is everywhere from Instagram, TikTok, Snapchat, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube. I'm doing good on my YouTube channel. I'm loving it. I'm putting content up. And you can also subscribe to my community. You can text me at 404 7371662. By the way, you know what I've been doing? Check this out. Since my following is still kind of growing, what I've been doing is every person that follows me on community, I have been one by one having tea in the morning with them on video chat. How about that? It's been awesome. Like, I just call them up and we just talk about
that.
Whatever the fuck we want to talk about while we're drinking, you know, tea or coffee or whatever. It's awesome. Anyway, but as Jay said, catch us on the IG Live every Thursday. Also, my podcast with Kayende called The Young Ones. We got some new episodes coming up, which is always fun. I think we have a lot going on. Damn. We really do. We got some other things coming up in the future, which we will be able to talk about soon, but that'll just be the teaser. But anyway, as usual, this podcast is recorded via the Anchor app. You can go to anchor.fm to record, edit, and distribute your own podcast, just to put it amongst the pile of shitty podcasts that are out there. Not like ours. Ours is not shitty. You know, so you can do that. And who produces this thing? That is correct. So, everybody out there, be safe, be healthy. You know, please wear a mask just so we can get this thing wrapped up and everybody can go out and, you know, frolic again. I'm down for some frolicking. Good. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, we appreciate y'all. Share this with your friends. We don't have enemies anymore. We're just all about that love and whatnot. That's right. Anyway, so until next time, this is Simon Illa.
We're Gucci.
We'll talk to y'all later. Peace.